Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So in our final week of our Draw Near sermon worship series, which was Advent a little earlier than normal, we do have two scripture readings today. One is from the Psalms. You're welcome to use your pew Bible on page 728 as I read from Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And thus ends our first scripture reading today. As we prepare to hear the Gospel of Luke, I invite you to stand as you are able in the reading of the text from first chapter, starting with verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And thus Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Friends, will you pray with me? Gracious and most holy God, on this beautiful day, in the hearing of the psalm of crying out to you that you would restore their souls, we cry out to you that you too would restore our souls. And as we draw nearer to the season of Advent, where all in the world will prepare to remember the birth of a Savior and the return of that same Savior, today we hear the powerful words of a young woman named Mary. This day may these words and this story resonate within us. May our hearts be open, our minds open, and our ears to hear what you would have us hear this day. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned before, we are in our last week of this Draw Near sermon series, and It is, this whole series was based on what is usually the lectionary text for the season of Advent. And I snuck Advent in early because sometimes, at least I know for me, that in the month of December, sometimes that season of preparation gets lost in the hustle and bustle and throes of the month of December. Can I get an amen? I mean, how many of you have calendars packed full with family or work social gatherings or school commitments because you have the holiday, you know, concerts or meals in the classrooms? And how many of you at least hadn't even gotten past Halloween and you walk through the grocery store and all you see is Christmas and you feel like Thanksgiving got totally run over and we're already moving through? I know that probably in a couple of weeks I'll see things for New Year's and Valentine's Day and I'm not ready. I am absolutely not ready. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we're in this season, and the season of Advent, for those who may not know, is an intentional season of preparation. It is a season to draw us closer to the narrative of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is also a season for us to reflect, and are we adequately preparing ourselves for when Christ comes again? As those who believe in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that Christ came, Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And that means that we have the opportunity to reflect upon our lives and think about those places that will help us be ready for when Christ comes again, which means, are we living our lives now in a way that reflects the goodness and truth of the resurrected Jesus? That's a hard question, because sometimes I think we do a really great job, and sometimes maybe we need a little help. And so in this last week, and as we lead into next week is the end of the Christian liturgical year, which kind of culminates a whole year, right? But what is it about today that God is inviting us to think about, to hold on to cling to? And as we hear from the scripture and we hear these stories, you know, the theme for today is draw near to one another. And sometimes that's easy to do if we're living with somebody else, right? But there are times where, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, my son lives at home and my daughter is at college, and there may be days, I'm telling you, days where I don't see either one of them, even if we're living in the same house. And then I have to send a text, be like, okay, proof of life pic, please, so I know that you're still okay. Do y'all ever do that? You know, ask for that proof of life, just so I know you're okay. And even in proximity, we may be separated from one another. And even with familiarity, we may be separated from one another. And then I think about those who are actively, you know, employed, and you go to work, right? And you probably spend more time with the people at work than you do with maybe those you live with. Or for those who are retired, you may have had that community where you saw people regularly, and then your life shifted, and it's kind of like, am I connected with people? And then maybe you are in a season of difficult family circumstances or difficult medical situations. And it may mean that you can't be in proximity or in community with people because it might endanger your health and well-being or that of others. And it doesn't necessarily have to be physical proximity that separates us. It could also be what you're feeling or emotionally experiencing. Like maybe a loss, or you're deep in the midst of grief, or you're really worried about next steps and you're navigating some difficult times. And I know for me, I tend to go inward. And then I think that's a direct result of how I was as a child, where I had to figure things out on my own. And so now as an adult, I go inward. And I'm like, I can't, you know. And so by me going inward, I have effectively distanced myself from those who could actually walk alongside or with me. And I'm seeing some head nods of that might be similar for some of you. And then some of you may be in a really great place and you're like, I can be in community with other people. Not only can I be in community with other people, but you may step into those spaces where others feel disconnected and you are providing the presence of Christ to those persons. Thank goodness that we have all of those situations. That when maybe we feel separated, we have those who come up and walk alongside of us. Yesterday, I spent 6 hours at Apex UMC in a room full of persons who we were all going through training for early response training through UMCOR, that in the effect of a natural disaster or something that happens that disrupts community life. You have your emergency response team. Those are the ones that are actively saving lives or rescue missions or putting out fires, you know, those types of things. And there are people that are maybe well gifted for that, right? But the early response team is those that are deployed to go to those places after the emergency has maybe passed a little bit. But this is the crew that puts tarps on roofs to keep water from coming back in. This is the person who mucks out the spaces because maybe the insides have gotten flooded with whatever it is. So whatever tree limb removal so people can come in and out of their homes. And I just thought a little bit and reflected on this training. And as much as the work is important, we were repeatedly reminded that the greatest work is to be the presence of Christ in the midst of disaster. Being that presence in that space, that there is a person on the team that is designated as the listener to be able to hear people's stories and to listen. And as we listen to the stories, this is something too that I did not know, that sometimes do you ever sit with someone and they tell you a story, and then you see them again and they tell you the same story, and then you sit with them again, they tell you the same story, and sometimes it's a really painful story. In the process of telling that story repeatedly, it moves a painful narrative to a place of less pain. That was so eye-opening for me, right? That when we tell our story, it helps us move what is very painful to a space within us that we can tell that story with a little less pain, which brings us some peace and some comfort, right? So what does this have to do with the psalmist? Now remember that they are crying out to God because God's people were falling apart. Their identities were being challenged because in some instances they were taken off into exile. Their place of worship was destroyed. The communities were mixed up with everyone else, and that was hard for them. And they were calling out to God, say, can you please restore us? Meaning, can you bring us back into right relationship with you? We remember that you are our God and we are your people. And with that comes hope of Christ's, you know, God's presence, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the courage to go another day. And then we hear this beautiful narrative of Mary. So let's set this up because I think it's important and we can hold on to this as we move through the end of the year. Who is Mary? Do we know? This is not a rhetorical question. This is participatory. Who is Mary? Jesus' mother, yes. What are some of the other things that we know about Mary? What? Yes, it was going to be Joseph's wife, yes. Okay, so let me ask some questions. Was she a young lady, a middle-aged lady, or an older lady? A young lady, and not only a young lady, but very young in her teenage years, right? And then I heard Joseph's soon-to-be wife. She was betrothed to Joseph, right? And she knew this. And then she got a message. Where did she get the message from? How was it delivered to Mary? What? An angel, absolutely. And the angel basically told Mary what? That she was going to bear the Son of God. And that she was going to have to name him what? Jesus, Emmanuel, right? God with us. And I'm trying to think back to when I was 13 or 14, and if somebody had dropped some huge life truth on me, I would have looked at them and be like, that's totally sus. Am I right? Is that today's vernacular of like, that's totally suspect? Am I getting, yeah, got it. Yeah, that's what our kids would say to us. That's sus. Totally suspect. And we would probably discredit it because it wouldn't make sense, right, in the totality of our understandings or how we operate. And Mary doesn't say that. She says, I am, may it be so. And then she goes to find community in this shift in her life as she knew it. And that's where the narrative picks it up. She goes to her cousin's house, Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. Does anybody remember who she's pregnant with? John, that's right. She is pregnant with John. And so she comes in, and just in that proximity with Mary and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth hearing of Mary's voice, I could imagine be like, hey, cuz, I'm here. No. My sisters would come in the door and be like, yo, 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 what's up, sis? Right? They're way younger than me. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. But, you know, she comes, and when Elizabeth and the child within her hears the voice of Mary, the child within her womb leapt within her womb. There is this immediate connection not only between two women who are both going to bear children, but two babies who are going to have a significant impact in the life of those at that time and for thousands of years after. This connection of family, this connection of proximity. How many of you can recognize someone, even if you can't see them, by how you hear them, right? You know, I don't know how many of us actually pick up the phone and call people or answer the phone, you know, but there are times when we'll answer the phone and we'll be like, oh, is this, you know, I'll answer the phone and someone will say, well, oh, Ann, blah, 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 blah. Now, Ann is my mom. And I'll say, sorry, not mom. This is Anita. How can I help you? Right? There's this confusion a little bit because I may sound like my mom. But even with my sister, sometimes we do that. We sound alike or we say things that are very much similar to what other people say. Right? But just in the hearing of a voice. So in this mid-November place and moving into a hectic season, and as Miss Kathy reminded us to be in a season, an attitude of gratitude, it is also a time for us to reflect on where are those places where we are disconnected. And I don't know the answer for you, but you may think about that. Where are those places where we are really well connected? Right? We could probably identify some of those places. And what about the places where we're neither disconnected nor really connected, but we could make a difference one way or another? Do you know what I'm talking about? Be like, well, there's that one person I haven't really talked to in a while. Maybe I can reach out to them and say, hey, how are you? Or maybe you will reach out, you know, or be like someone calls you out of the blue and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you called today. It is so good to hear from you. As we draw near to one another, sometimes it is God who speaks to us, who desires to be near and close to us. And sometimes we may hear the voice of God through others who may speak a word of peace or honesty or love or comfort to us. And then we come to this place where we are in the throes of everyday life on a Sunday morning, and then we come here, and if you remember our opening prayer, it said that we are standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes and draw near to God and one another. Now, I'm not inviting you to take your shoes off. Y'all get a little weird about taking shoes off in church. But this idea of what is it about coming to this place that makes a difference? What is it that we need in our lives to be those people that know that Jesus came into the world and be those people that know that Jesus is coming back? And we actively want to live our lives faithful as disciples of Jesus. So we come in because we're either disconnected from one another. We may feel disconnected from God. We may feel disconnected from the world. We may be disconnected from the hope, from peace, from joy and love, and we come here. And then there are others who come here that are fully immersed in all of those things. And when we come together and we are bound and knit together by the ties of God's love, collectively we are able to draw nearer to God in this moment and to be enriched and strengthened that we can be connected better to God out the doors. Because I got to tell you, the world is very disconnected right now. And as much as we claim technology means that we can be in constant contact 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? They can send a text message at any point. But is that true connection? It's a bid, but it means that we have to be connected and responsive and take it beyond the flatness of a simple text to one that embodies the whole idea of you matter. God loves you, and I love you. Together we can be better than if we try to do this on our own. Just as we saw that Mary was better living this new life in community with Elizabeth. We are better when we choose to live life together, trusting in the ties of God's love that draws us nearer to God and to one another. And with this in mind, friends, today as you leave this place, reflect on those places where maybe you are disconnected, whether with yourself or with loved ones or in your workplace or in your community. And how you have some options to make that a better space. Think about how maybe you can see others who are disconnected. And how might you step into those spaces to be the presence of Christ in that life or those lives? And sometimes we do things and don't even realize the impact of what we're doing. But simply by showing up, being kind, and loving others, God draws nearer in those instances and may have lasting, profound effect on those lives. That is what we hold. That is what we cling to. And that is my hope, that we will draw nearer to that truth each and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.